afternoon I want to take up the subject of spiritual evangelism. Because if we're going to move in the spirit, then we obviously have to learn how to begin to evangelize in another way. At the moment we have the idea that we have to go out there and somehow coerce people or get them to respond somehow to God and do what is necessary to be saved. Well, I want to share with you another concept today, because I believe that that has not worked. And unless something happens, I cannot see that the kingdom of God could be established on the earth at all. For 2,000 years, the church has been in the world, and any advancement for God has been very, very little. There are actually more people, more heathen people in the world today than there's ever been. So I want you to turn in your Old Testament back to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to take up the story with the prophet. It's chapter 37, and he's going to teach us today what I believe is a new concept in evangelism, which is by the Spirit of God. So it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me," chapter 37 of Ezekiel. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the Spirit." Amen. "In the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones." So that's an interesting place to be put into. This is a valley of dry bones. It obviously was a cemetery of some kind, but in fact it really was simply looking out over the world that we live in today. So what is God doing to lift this man? This is a prophet of God. He is in exile away from Israel, taken captive with the children of Israel, of course. And in this place they had suffered quite a deal, but God was going to teach them, because that was the lesson. This was part of the lesson that they had to learn. So it says here that he caused me to pass by the bones round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very, very dry. Why were the bones dry? Because nobody had taken the water of life out to them. That's why they were dry. And wherever you find people that have not received the water of life, I mean, Jesus Christ said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow a river." I tell people today that the Garden of Eden actually is within every one of us. That is where God said, "I will walk with you, I will talk with you, fellowship with you," and so on. In the Garden of Eden, there was a river which flowed out of that garden. When it came to the outside of the garden, it split into four streams. One went to the east, one went to the west, one went to the north, and one went to the south. I believe it watered the entire earth. This is a picture of God's ability to bring life to all of mankind. And of course, you remember the woman at the well? He said to her, "Would you mind giving me a drink?" And she said, "Well, it's a strange thing that you would ask me for a drink of water, because you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, and we don't kind of talk to each other, and we don't have any dealings with each other." And he said to her, "If you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask me for a drink of water." You see? Because he said, if you drink the water in this well, you will have to come back tomorrow for some more water. But if you drink the water that I shall give you, it will be in you a well of water, or a spring of water, that will satisfy you forever. I like that.
Amen.
But see, there are so many dry bones today that we need to consider. And we come together here like this, and we have a wonderful time, and the fellowship is great, and we share together. But there are so many dry bones out there. Many dry bones. So it says here in verse 3, he says to me, "Son of man, do these bones live?" In our Bible it says, "Can these bones live?" I'm going to put it into the Hebrew concept, because it just makes all the difference to reading this particular chapter. Do these bones live? It's a question. And God is asking the prophet, "Do these bones live?" And what does the prophet say? He says, "You know, Lord. You know." You know what? You know those bones. You know the bones. And of course, that word there, to know, is the Hebrew word yoda, which means not just to know something, but it means a knowledge which is far deeper than that, which is the knowledge that a man has of his wife. So that's very important. God, you know these bones. How did God know these bones? These are dry bones in a valley, for goodness sake. I mean, how would God know them? All because, you see, before those bones ever existed, God knew every one of them.
Yes.
You understand?
Amen.
God knew every one of them.
Yes.
Remember the verse we started with yesterday? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Mm-hmm. Before you were conceived in the womb, God said, "I knew you." He knows every one of those bones. That was probably a shock for Ezekiel to hear that. But nevertheless, he knew, because he said, "You know them, Lord. You know them." So it wasn't really a shock to him. It might be a shock to us, to know that God knows all the bones out there. Who are the bones out there? Well, they're the people that we consider to be the lost. They're the people that don't know Christ. They're the people that have never given their heart to the Lord, or whatever, however you want to say that. Those people that are out there that don't know, and they don't want to know God as we think. That's the dry bones. But the prophet says, "You know them, Lord. You know every one of them." So the Lord says to him, "Prophesy upon these bones. Prophesy." Well, you see, you have to understand that God is spirit, so when he does things, he does not do things like we do. we want to do something, we have to use our hands or something, and we have to get the material together and we have to put it all together and so on. But when God wants to do something, he simply speaks.
Yes.
And so what is he saying? He's saying, I want you, to the prophet, I want you to prophesy over these bones. The bones are all of mankind who tonight, today, do not know Jesus Christ, do not know who he is, and do not know or have a relationship with him or with God. That's what the bones represent. And so he says, I want you to prophesy over these bones. I don't want you to go out and preach to them. I don't want you to go out there with a Bible and start quoting verses to them. I want you simply to prophesy. So what does it mean to prophesy? It means to say what God is saying.
Amen.
Not foretelling the future or what's going to happen next year or whatever. Prophecy is to speak what God is saying. That's all. And every one of us are capable of prophesying. And you don't need to go to any school to learn to be a prophet, because we all should have that Christ functioning in us so that we can hear the voice. And what you hear the voice of God saying, that's the reality.
Amen.
And if you say what he says,
amen,
then it will be according to his word.
Yes.
That's the incredible thing about it. You see? I mean, the words of Des Wilder just go out in the breeze and disappear. But if I say what God is saying, then it's going to have an effect. So he says, prophesy over these bones. And then he says, this is what I want you to prophesy. So he even tells us what we are to say. This is spiritual evangelism. Are you hearing this?
Amen.
He says, O ye dry bones. You can hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
O ye dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. How can dry bones hear a voice? This sounds crazy, doesn't it? Dry bones, and he says, hear the word of the Lord. But you see, when God speaks, it doesn't matter whether you're in a tomb, whether you're in a grave, or whether you're sitting here in this home today. It doesn't matter. Why? Because when God speaks, you will hear. Everybody will hear when God speaks. So the bones out there are waiting for a voice. Well, God could talk to them, I suppose, couldn't he? If they were listening. But I don't think they're listening. So therefore, they need somebody, God needs somebody, that's going to say to the bones what Father wants to say to them.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Because if we are spirit, as we've been speaking about, and that spirit is functioning in us, which is Christ, then that spirit is going to do on this earth what is required. So it says here, say, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God to these bones, I will put breath in you. I will put breath in you and cause you to live. That's what God said. Hear the word of the Lord. This doesn't sound like evangelism, does it? I mean, I haven't heard him say anything about sin yet. I haven't heard him saying anything about heaven or whatever. All he says is, hear the word of the Lord. That's all the bones need, is to hear the word of the Lord. But you say they're dry bones. Come on. They have no life in them. They don't know God. Maybe they don't know much about the Bible. Maybe they've never read the Bible. They've never been to church or whatever. They're dry bones. Prophesy. And say to the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then he says, thus saith the Lord God to these bones, I will put breath in you and cause you to live. And I will lay sinew upon you. This is the Lord speaking. I'm going to put back together what has taken place in your life. Dry bones represent for us death and mortality. And that's what the world has today. Death and mortality. Sickness, pain and suffering that leads to death. Well, if this is the way in which God wants to save the world, and it is, this is God's program to bring this world back to himself, to bring all of mankind to that day when every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Every knee will bow unto him in worship. And how will all of this happen? Somebody has got to start to prophesy. We've got to start to prophesy.
Amen.
It's a new type of evangelism for us. It's not new really. Because when we understand that we are spirit, we begin to know that there is another way to do everything. And it's not just by doing things, it's by speaking the word of the Lord. So he said, I will, or rather it should be, I have laid sinew upon you. I have brought up flesh upon you. And I have covered you with skin, and I have put breath in you, and I have caused you to live, and you have known that I am the Lord. Why? Because God knew every one of those bones before they were conceived in the womb. And when they were conceived in the womb, it was God that brought the bones together. He was the one that put the bones together. Psalm 139, when he said, when there was nothing in the womb, he said, I brought the parts of your being together. That's the bones. That's what he's talking about. Those bones, they knew the Lord. Because before they were conceived, God knew them. And they were in God. But now, they're dry bones. This is the world that's waiting for somebody to take the water of life out to them. So the prophet said, I did what God said. I prophesied just as I was commanded. And it says, there was a noise. It was like an earthquake. There was a noise. And behold, there was a shaking, and the bones came together. What a picture. And the bones came together. It's a noise of the bones coming together. What's he talking about? Is it the shin bone comes to the thigh bone and the thigh bone is joined? Well, you know that song they used to sing about Abraham.
Yeah.
I don't think so. You really want to know what he's talking about here? I'm going to tell you anyway. You see those bones out there? Those bones have got to come together with these bones. Come on. Those bones have got to come together with these. Why? Because they belong here. They belong to us. You think God just made a bunch of people like us, you know, and the rest of them out there, well, he's not worried about them, you know, they're nothing. No, sir. When the bones come together, those bones out there are going to come and be part of us.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah.
This is evangelism of a different kind. And it's God just simply opening up to us our understanding and letting us understand what the problem is. We have never gone out there. I mean, how much time do we give to thinking about the people there? How much time do people give to thinking about Africa or India with 1.2 billion people, or Indonesia, or any of the countries in the world, even South America? How much time do we give to even thinking about them? But they are the dry bones. That's what they are. So when the prophet prophesied, he actually saw what God wanted to do. He saw the bones starting to come together. Because those bones have got to come to find their place with the rest of the bones. Because where the bones have they got the water now? Because the water, of course, is Christ. And so it is here, he says, that the noise came and the shaking and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Bone to his bone. And he said, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. It's a bit like Genesis 2 verse 7, isn't it? When the body was completely made and it was finished, there was no life in it. It needed life. So, it says here, there was no life in them. So what does God say to the prophet? Come on, you know what to do now. Prophesy. Beloved, this is a principle that we have to learn. We have to learn how to say what God is saying. We say, we often say to ourselves that God does not will the death of one sinner. God doesn't want those people out there to be lost. They're not lost anyway. God knows every one of them and he knows where they are, so nobody's lost out there. But how are we going to see the change? We've got to learn to function out of this spirit, which is male and female within us, that is capable of doing exactly what the prophet was doing here. And God said, you see, I want you to understand, when you read this little account here in the book of Ezekiel, that you realize that God, or Christ if you like, with all of his power, has no effect upon the earth, or can have no effect upon the earth without you. There's got to be a man on the earth.
Yes.
And there's got to be somebody that will give him a voice. And if we don't give him a voice, then this world is never going to come to know God. And therefore, the kingdom of God could never be built. So, with our understanding of who we are as Christ, as Spirit, we must now begin to function in a new and understanding way. That the people out there are not going to respond just by going out there and telling them that, you know, God loves them and, you know, that Christ died for them and so on. They're going to need somebody that's going to say what God is saying. And God is saying, listen, I want you to go out there and tell those dry bones that I'm going to give them life. I'm going to give them life. But I want you to prophesy that to them. And then watch and see God do it. Because he's doing it here. So the bones are coming together, it says here. But there's no breath in them. So in verse 9 he says, prophesy to the wind. You see, it's all prophecy now. It's all prophesying, which is saying what God is saying. That's all. It's not foretelling the future or whatever else you want to think about. It's simply saying what God is saying today to the dry bones. And so it says, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
Yeah.
Breathe upon them.
Yeah.
Call for the wind. Remember, the word wind, the word breath, and the word spirit are the same. They're all exactly the same word. So, the prophet hasn't had to do anything. He hasn't had to go to another country. He hasn't had to do anything. He simply has to say a word. He has to simply speak what God is saying. Tell the betrayer, speak to the dry bones, speak to them. And when you speak to something, what God is saying to whatever that thing is, that will be the reality, and that will be what will be. Come from the four winds, that these may live. So I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they lived. So, going back to yesterday, speaking about the Spirit, remember that we were given an assignment from God. That in verse 28 of chapter 1 in Genesis, God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What was he telling us to do? He was telling us that we must birth the Christ. Because when God said to Abram, count the stars, he said, I count, Lord. He said, so shall your seed be. Well, he wasn't talking about us having hundreds or thousands of children or whatever. He was saying, I want you to birth the Christ, because in him is all of mankind. Listen, it was the Virgin Mary that birthed the Christ for her generation. But God has instructed us that we also must birth the Christ. And in this very exercise, we are bringing all that is in Christ together. We're bringing them into the fold. And I believe that today, as we begin to understand, as we birth the Christ, those dry bones out there are going to begin to rattle. I think they're going to start to move. And as we then prophesy, those bones are going to come and join up with these bones. There is only one body of Christ.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Yes, Lord.
Only one.
Yes, Lord.
We become individually a manifestation of that body, and we have not yet put it together as the true church. Because the true church is not governed by men. It is not governed by a bunch of men sitting in a room working out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and so on. The church, which is his body, is under the total operation of the Spirit of God. And if the Christ is not Lord and in charge, then it's not the body of Christ. It must be Christ. He is Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So while the church is still under human control, it will never be the true body of Christ. Well, our body, of course, then becomes individually a manifestation of that body, so that our mouth becomes the mouth of God. These hands become the hands of God, and we can do what God tells us to do. So it says here in verse 10, breath came into them and they lived, and they stood up a mighty army. Oh God, help us. There's a mighty army yet that is to stand up. Now, keep your finger in there if you can, and turn back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 16, I think it is. Genesis chapter 16. And in verse 1 it says, Abram was 99 years old when the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, Behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. Are you hearing this? Because God's speaking to you under the new covenant. And this covenant of Abraham, of course, is in function today. And all the world is under this covenant, not just Israel. This is the everlasting covenant, actually. So he says to him, you will be the father of many nations. Neither shall your name be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. Did you see what God did for him? He changed his name. Remember that the name is the nature.
Yes.
That's what the name represents in the Bible. It represents the nature. Do you realize that Adam had naming rights for all of the animals and whatever else was in the garden there? He was able to name them. What does that mean? He was able to give them their character, their nature. And I'd like to tell a little story. I think I was telling some of the folk yesterday here in the afternoon. I have a friend down in Melbourne, and she has quite a big restaurant down there, which is an international restaurant. And she, of course, is from Germany, from Moravia, and it's a Moravian sort of situation in the restaurant. The girls were all dressed with their little peak hat and their green dresses and so on. And it's the cutest place. And people from all over the world go there. And on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday nights, her brother goes around to all the people. Oh, it seats hundreds of people. It's a big restaurant, very big. And he goes around and finds out where all these people come from, and then it's like a community thing. And everybody starts to sing and what have you. He finds out if they had a birthday, are they here for a wedding anniversary or whatever. And, you know, he's got the speaker, he's got the microphone, and everybody's listening, you know. Oh, we've got a lady here, you know, from China. And the band strikes up singing, playing the national anthem for China, you know. Oh, there's somebody here from the U.S., so they start the Star Spangled Banner, you know, and all that goes. This lady lives on the top of the mountain, and we usually stay in the house with her when we're down there. And there are many, many birds, and there are parrots and all kinds of birds. Well, she takes home every night scraps from the restaurant. So in the morning when she gets up, she goes out with a basket and she throws out the bits of bread and little bits of meat and whatever else there is there. And all these birds, are usually up before her, because she doesn't go to bed till about 1 o'clock, you see, because she has to wait there till the thing's all over. Or we go to bed a bit early. So we're up early, and we sit there, and it's all glass, you see, there, and we're looking out over the lawn. And you see just a few birds here and there, but you look up in the trees, and you can see them all up there if you look carefully, and they're waiting. But as soon as she walks out there with her basket, all these birds just come down onto that lawn. Oh, it's great to watch it. Her daughter came to her and said to her, "Mother, we are moving house. I want you to look after my big cat." So the mother said, "Well, okay. So I said to her, because we were watching to see what was going to happen, you see, "What did you do? I mean, you know, you feed all these birds. I mean, you know what a cat's going to do if he gets in amongst all those birds. He's going to have breakfast too." Well, she said, "Oh, no problem." She said, "I picked up that cat, and I mean, it was like a young lion. It was a big cat. It was one of those pug nose. I don't know what breed it was, but boy, I tell you, it was some cat." She picked it up and she said, "I'm looking straight in the eyes of this cat, and I said to it, 'I am going to give you another name, and I'm going to call you the Prince of Peace, and you will not touch any of the wildlife here, nor any of the birds. Nothing. You will just behave yourself.'" She put the cat down. Well, I'm watching, because we're there, you see. I want to see what this cat's going to do. Well, first of all, the cat walks out and lays in the middle of the lawn. So she goes out with the basket and she throws out, and all the birds come down. Well, I'm telling you, that cat laid there, he did not move a whisker. Those birds just all hopped around him, grabbing all the bits of... You see?
Yeah.
I'm telling you that story because it's about the best illustration I know. You have to learn that what you say is going to have an effect upon everything. What you say. The power of life and death is in your tongue, or the power of death and life is in your tongue. But you see, here, this is naming rights. Is anybody here that's got an emotion that's out of kilter? You know, I mean, there's all sorts of emotions. There's anger. And Jesus Christ said, you know, if you're angry with your brother, you're a murderer. Because it's the same thing. So if you've got an emotion that's not what it ought to be, why don't you rename it? Then I'm serious. Why don't you rename it? And give it a name that will represent a change. And it will not function as it had been. I mean, anger, you see, if you have an emotional release which is in anger, that's very devastating to a family, particularly, sometimes to the wife and many times to the children as well. So you're allowed to rename it. We have the naming rights because Adam did, so that's passed on to us. So we can name it. And we can call it peace, we can call it love, we can call it whatever you like. Mm-hmm. And we have the power to see that the nature of that thing will be changed. Mm-hmm. You want to try that with your dog and your cat and whatever. Because sometimes they need a little change of name too, you know. Mm-hmm. Get up to all sorts of mischief. Mm-hmm. So, it's This is the truth. Well, now, God is saying to us here, what you say is going to change the world. Only we're calling it prophesying. That's what we're calling it, because that's what it is in God, which is simply saying what God is saying. So now God is telling Abraham that I've changed your name, first of all. I've changed your name from Abram. God took one letter out of his name and gave it to Abraham.
Amen.
It was the hod, the H. And the hod in the Hebrew language, in Yahweh, the H was given to Abraham. So instead of being Abram, it is now Abraham. You cannot say that letter H without breathing out. H, you see, it's you breathe out when you say that letter. And that is God's breath. It was just an interesting thing that God did that. But now Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be the father of many nations, oh Lord. And it says here, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, verse 6, and kings will come out of you, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. So God says, I want you to birth the Christ. Why? Because my covenant with you. My covenant says, it's to you and to your seed. And if Abraham did not birth the Christ, the covenant would have been null and void. Because it was to Abraham and his seed. And do you realize you are blessed today because Abraham birthed the Christ? You hear this?
Amen.
You are blessed today because Abraham birthed the Christ. Because in Christ is all of humanity.
Yes, hallelujah.
You see? And so, it says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee. This is verse 7. And after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. And that represents your body. That's the promised land. So in every way, the birthing of the Christ is part of world evangelism.